So the format is pretty much the same as before. First of all, thank you all for coming here. Much appreciated. So the way I thought might be good, I will ask the candidates to answer the questions in the following order. It's in alphabetical order. So nobody can say I prefer one over the other one. Okay? So the first question will be answered by Councilman Cortez. Then Carolyn Crane, I apologize. If I mispronounce the name, it's my German accent, I'm sorry. And then Representative Paul Harris, please. So.
Here's the question. Do you support and would you adhere to Initiative 1185, which reaffirms the 20-year-old state law requiring tax increases to be passed by the legislature with a two-thirds vote or approval by the voter?
First, Councilman Cortez, please.
Thank you for that question, and I appreciate you guys hosting this today. Initiative 1185, I'll go ahead and be blunt about it. I absolutely support it. I think we see a lot of the effects on why that issue is before the voters, where we've had lots of past legislative sessions where it seems as if Olympia just tries to balance their books on the backs of the localities, whether it be cities, school districts, and so have you. So I think that measure is needed not only to make sure current legislators, but also future legislatures have a high bar when it comes to passing any new tax increases. And so I fully support that.
Thank you very much. Next, Carolyn Crane, please.
Well, that's a very interesting question to pose to me because I'm Carolyn Crane, candidate running for State House position 2, and the one thing that actually caused me to decide to run for office was Initiative 1053, the forerunner to that very initiative. The incumbent in the office has filed a lawsuit against all of the people who voted, I guess, over that very thing, feeling that we should not put controls and constraints on our government and legislature. I found that a little appalling, a little unbelievable. You cannot represent me in my vote and then file a lawsuit over my vote. It just doesn't work. So, obviously, I'm an Initiative 1053 person, considering that was passed 4 times, an Initiative 1185 person, because I do believe that the power is inherent in the people in this country. I do believe the people have the right to control their government and their society. I actually believe, without adding an income tax to the bill, that we should actually just flat make this a permanent portion, bipartisan control for the people to have their say and have their money and their tax dollars protected and properly spent by the legislature. I'd like to see that become part of the state constitution.
Thank you, Carolyn. Representative Harris, would you please answer the same question?
Sure. Thank you very much. And I appreciate being here today. Thank you for doing the forum. I am State Representative Harris from the 17th District. This is my first re-election. And to answer your question, pure and simply, it's very easy, 1185. I believe we need to have a two-thirds majority to pass taxes in our state to pass on an increase. It's something that I believe, it once again, it stresses the importance of bipartisan support on raising taxes. And I believe the voters have told us on several occasions, if not 4 or 5 times, and I think we should have that message loud and clear. So I support that initiative, yes.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Representative Harris. So the next question to be answered in the following order, please. Representative Miller, please. Julie Olson and Debbie Peterson.
Here's the question. The Columbia River crossing has been a topic of great debate with wide ranges of opinions. Where do you stand on this project? Please include in your discussion light rail, transit and bus rapid transit.
Okay. Thank you also for putting on this forum. I support the Columbia River Crossing. I have from the very beginning. I think it connects Vancouver to the economic engine that is Portland, Oregon, across the river. The fact is, the matter is that Oregon in the 1970s, I think most of you here are old enough to remember Mayor Neil Goldschmidt, decided that they were not going to add capacity by adding more asphalt, that they would add capacity by adding light rail. That is the system that we will be joining with a very small little spur. I think that it's essential that we, one, increase capacity, two, that we increase freight mobility, three, that we decrease congestion, and four, that we connect ourselves to that economic engine across the river. That river unites us. It does not divide us. Secondly, about bus rapid transit, I think it's appropriate to have a mix of bus rapid transit and light rail and buses and cars and pedestrians and bike lanes and all the ways that we get around, because we need options to get around, not simply more asphalt.
Thank you, Representative Mueller. Next, Julia Olson, please.
Hi, thank you. I'm Julie Olson, running for State Representative in 17th. And thank you also for the invitation to be here. I am not a supporter of the CRC project as it stands today for, frankly, the reasons that we heard when the commissioners were up here. This is a project that doesn't address capacity. It's expensive. It doesn't address river transit and river commerce because it's too low. And whether it's gross mismanagement or criminal activity or whatever it is, every day we hear more and more about meetings that have gone on, potential public meeting acts that have been maybe not legal. It's been mismanaged from the beginning, and it's not a project that I would support. Light rail, I also believe, is not a project that fits our community. And I do believe that bus rapid transit, if we can come up with a project across the river that deals with capacity, maintains river commerce, and we can put bus rapid transit across the river, I think that's the best option for our commuters in Clark County.
Thank you, Julie. Much appreciated. Debbie Peterson, next, please.
Thank you. And thank you for having this forum and giving us a chance to express our opinions on some of the important issues. The Columbia River Crossing Project is a project that I absolutely do not support. I've worked against it for the past 4.5 years. And there are several reasons why. First of all, the project itself has incredible flaws. To name several of them, there have been 2 failed bridge designs. In 2010, the independent review panel discovered that the box web design was failing. And unfortunately, had the CRC, Columbia River Crossing directors, simply gone to the web and Googled box web design, they would have seen a Japanese website that talked about the fact that they would never build another box web design again. Took me 5 minutes. I know. And so that's one thing. The second thing is that the current design. Right now, they're at 95 feet. They knew in 2006 that this was going to be a bridge too low. Back east, they're spending $1 billion right now to retrofit a bridge and make it higher. We are spending $3.2 billion to make a bridge lower. That doesn't make sense to me. That's not good use of our funding. In terms of time, I have no time. I could talk about this for hours. I want to talk about bus rapid transit. Just one quick one-liner. If we put bus rapid transit on 4th Plain, it is going to be a go-through instead of a go-to destination. And we are going to lose businesses, and that's not okay.
Thank you, Debbie. So the next question, we have only 2 candidates left here for the first round here. It's Representative Liz Pike and Brandon Vick.
And here's the question. Department of Ecology regulations are crippling growth in Clark County. What is your opinion of the DOE? Please give specific examples if possible.
I'm Liz Pike, and I'm your current state representative in the 18th district, and there's so many problems with the Department of Ecology, it's hard to know where to begin. Since I don't have very much time, I'll just tell you very briefly. For far too long, there's been unelected bureaucrats in the Department of Ecology writing rules without any legislative oversight. These folks are appointed by the current governor. They're not accountable. And I would like to work with my colleagues in the legislature to create legislative oversight over virtually every agency rulemaking authority in Olympia. That's what I'd work for. And there's other things. I used to think that Department of Ecology just had it in for builders and developers and realtors. But recently, I authored a letter to the Washington Public Ports and the Department of Ecology based on the heavy-handedness that DOE is undertaking at this very moment to hurt our river, our maritime community in operating in Lower Columbia. Mm-hmm. So that's just another example of how onerous the rules and regulations that are coming out of the DOE. And I'm going to be DOE's worst nightmare when I go to Olympia. I promise you that. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Pike. Brandon Vicks?
Well, thank you all so much for being here. The question was, what do you think of the DOE? And that's a tough one to answer without any four-letter words, but we'll do our best to do it. Part of ecology is something I've worked with intimately over my career. I'm a third-generation contractor, and my family started a landscape construction and maintenance company in Clark County here in 1961. And so I've been fortunate to be able to learn a lot about the issue, lobby against Department of Ecology and a lot of their rules over the last several years, and just be a part of the process. Department of Ecology is something that, if we followed their rules to a T, would basically stop all construction and all building in Clark County, and by doing that, would stop all progress. Along with Department of Ecology, you have things like the Growth Management Act and other overreaching rules and bureaucracies that are handled from Olympia, when we should really be taking those responsibilities and bringing them down to the local level. Folks in a cubicle in Olympia or Seattle or wherever they are, they don't know how best to grow in Clark County. They don't know how best to build. They don't know where our schools should go and our homes should go and our business should go. That's the decision that should be left to our local level. So as a legislator, I will work to bring those decisions and those ability to make those decisions down to our county commissioners, our city councilors, and folks like that. Folks that you and I can most easily access if we have a concern. My door will be open in Olympia, but I guarantee you not everyone can make it up there, so we want to be able to make sure the people's voices are heard.
Thank you, Brandon. Much appreciated. The next question to be answered in the following order. Representative Paul Harris first, then Carolyn Crane, and after that, Councilman Cortez. Thank you.
Here's the question. Do you believe free markets, competition, and parental choice would be a tool to improve public education? And if so, what alternatives to public education do you consider viable?
I'm assuming this deals with the charter schools, and I have a slight problem with the charter school bill, and that is that I really believe that we need legislative oversight. You need to have oversight by an elected body. If we're going to give money, if we're going to give dollars to state dollars and your taxpayer dollars to a board or to a commission, I believe it needs to be elected. And that's really the only problem I have with the charter school bill, and I believe that's the direction you're headed. But looking at what the charter school bill does, what the bill really does, and if you read through all of it, is it gives an opportunity to drop some of the regulations and some of the other things, some of the burdens we've placed upon school districts. And I find it interesting that there are approaches that we need to form another district to do that. I think, once again, maybe what we should do is reduce some of the regulations, really go back to our local schools, and once again, mm-hmm. Where do you think we can best educate, where do you think the best rules come for each one of our individual districts? We need to put that burden back upon our school board, and let the school boards really, really run our schools, and our superintendent, and our principals, not Olympia. And certainly, you know, if charter schools works, then we need to relinquish some of those burdensome rules that we've placed upon our schools and release them from this. This is very simple. So once again, I think we've overregulated.
Thank you, Representative Harris. Next, Carolyn Crane, please.
I have not completely 100% decided one way or the other with regards to the charter school base. I do have issues with the way we spend education money. The McCleary issues going through the state Supreme Court stated that they did not like the way we were spending our money. They did not state that we needed to put more money into it. And if you look at our local schools, you will see that our fourth grade students are failing in math with 52.6 or 9% math scores. This is not true in the homeschooled children. They're running at 70 and 80% in their test scores. So this is not a money issue. This is a way we spend our money issue. This is what we do with regulatory issues that we've dumped on teachers. And the one thing that I hear from teachers is that they spend so much of their time documenting the different teaching styles that the state has mandated that they have to test on each child. They don't get a lot of time teaching. We've added 0 to 3 education. Zero. What do you teach a zero-year-old? How to burp? Okay, let's get that money back out of 0 to 3. Let's put it in first through third. Add another teacher in there. Let them do the documentation. And let the teacher teach. We don't have to take the money away. Let's just redistribute the money. Maybe by the time they hit fourth grade, maybe they'll pass math.
Thank you, Carolyn. Next, Councilman Cortez, please.
Thank you. So maybe my answer will be a bit simplistic, but the way I view it is, well, first and foremost, I mean, I support our public schools. We have a lot of hardworking teachers and principals and public officials as far as school board members who do a lot of hard work for our students. Let me step back here. I'm a product of the public school system. I mean, I grew up in Battleground from age 6, graduated from the Battleground School District. However, I think I support strong parental involvement in their children's education. We really need to include a lot of choices for our parents to be able to access, whether it be a robust public school system, private school, charter school, and yes, I do support the new charter school initiative, and also a good, robust homeschool network. As a father of 2 daughters, my eldest is in second grade, and I've elected, my wife and I have elected to send her to private Christian school. Myself, I'm a couple months away from graduating with my bachelor's, and I've elected myself to attend a Christian college. So I think the key is to provide the choices to the parents. Outside of that, I think we need to make sure that the legislators are limited to that. So, thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. The next question to be answered, please, in the following order. First, Debbie Peterson, then Julie Olson, and then Representative Jim Murrow, please.
The question is, in the state of Washington, there is a monopoly on industrial insurance, labor and industries causing employers to pay exorbitant fees for employee insurance. What is the solution to high costs of L&I?
Debbie Peterson, please.
Working on it. We've had a history of increased L&I rates for the past 4 or 5 years. I think this year, in 2011, it was raised 12%. That is just unsustainable for small businesses. And so we need to make it privatized, and we need to get that rate down so that we can have our small businesses not having to have those kinds of exorbitant increases year by year. The other thing is that we need to have it collected the same way sales tax is collected. Right now it's collected very differently from that, and it's collected in a cumbersome way. And so if we can streamline that in the same way that they collect sales tax, that will really help a lot. And then the third thing is we have our L&I has increased as our requests for it have decreased. And so the graph went like this. And it shouldn't have done that. It should have, our LNI should have followed the decrease in demand, and instead it increased. And so we have to look at that. We have one of the highest and most generous LNI benefits in the nation. And so we need to really take a look at that and decide what can we do. And one thing that we can do is right now, if someone is on unemployment, I'm sorry, this is a different issue. Never mind.
Thank you, Debbie. Next, Julie Olson, please.
Hi, thank you. Actually, this is an issue that's been part of my campaign from the beginning. There's a businessman here, and it was important to me then, but to hear his story actually elevates it. There's a businessman here in Clark County who has employees in Oregon, employees here in Washington, and in other states around the country where they build big apartment complexes. And he had an employee that had an injury in Oregon and went through the Oregon workers' compensation system there and was back to work and settled in 72 days. He had the same similar injury here from an employee in Washington, and it took over 2 years to get that same similar claim resolved. And that's a problem, clearly a problem, for taxpayers and for employers and, frankly, for employees. So while privatization is an option, if we just look to Oregon, for instance, they have a three-tier system there. They've got their state system, which is safe. They have private insurers can offer workers' comp, and then they've got the ability to self-insure if they qualify. They've also got a much more streamlined system in terms of getting employees back to work and claims resolved. So we don't have to go real far to take a look at what opportunities we have to inject some competition into this marketplace and get this burden off of our employers. We're one of four states now, I believe, in the country that doesn't have any kind of competition and is fully state-run in terms of workers' comp insurance.
Thank you, Julie. Next, Representative Miller, please.
Thank you. The LNI system has been in existence for about 100 years. The problem is that there's a trade-off here. And if you want to have competition, quote unquote, you can certainly do that. But what the employers will be giving up at that time will be any chance of averting any kind of lawsuit. Currently, when somebody goes into the LNI system, which is a state-run system, it's a monopoly, basically. They also agree that they will not be suing their employer. So, although we are the only state that requires employee contribution to the LNI system, the only state that requires that. In addition to that, if you go towards a safe system or something similar to what Oregon has, you will be giving up all chances of the employer of staying out of the courts. So you either lower the total cost by a monopoly, a state-run system that is employee-based through employee contributions, and rate-based, which is based on actuarial claims. So this is not something that we set as legislators in the legislature. That is set by actual claims against the system. In addition, that is very irritating. and finally, I have to go. There's something that employers expect that you just show up before they give you a paycheck. So, but since I'm the only Democrat here,
thank you, Representative Miller. The next question to please be answered in the following order, Brandon Wick, and then Representative Pike. Thank you.
Here's a question. Unemployment is very high in Southwest Washington versus the nation. Small business taxes are high. Businesses have been slammed by the worst economic times since the Great Depression. Housing market is soft, and on and on. What steps will you take in Olympia to create a stronger business environment in Southwest Washington?
Thank you very much for that question. I actually appreciate the way it was worded, because a lot of forums, they ask you, what are you going to do to create jobs? And the answer to that is state representatives, state senators, county commissioners don't create jobs. They create an environment for which jobs can be created and go forth and be fruitful. Again, I want to point out, our family's been employing Washingtonians for over 50 years here in Clark County, and we've been doing that sometimes with abundance and sometimes on a much more scaled-back level. You asked about taxes. The B&O tax is something that is crippling to business owners in Clark County. We've been in an unfortunate situation where at the end of the year, you owe more B&O tax than you actually made in profit. And that's a tough pill to swallow when you have to write that check and figure out where that money is going to come from. Luckily, we've done it, been audited, everything's come up clean. But, that B&O tax system is something we really need to get after. I don't understand why we tax businesses on investment, why we tax on employees, why we tax on raw products purchased. We need to get to a system where you're only paying taxes on the profit that you made. That will encourage more businesses to invest in their companies, invest in their employees, buy goods and services that will continue to employ other Washingtonians, and so forth and so on. When it comes to fixing the job climate in general, though, we need to really look internally at the way we've been doing things for years, and we need to realize that we are competing on a global scale, not just with Oregon, not just with Idaho. We need to fight and compete with the rest of the world.
Thank you, Brandon. Representative Pike, please. Yes.
Thanks for asking that question. My website, lizpike.us, goes into great detail on my plan to jumpstart our economy in Washington State. It starts with reforming our industrial insurance program, as others have discussed earlier today. It starts with getting government out of the way by streamlining all of our permitting processes, by reducing the onerous rules that are promulgated by the non-elected bureaucrats in the Department of Ecology. And also, it starts with reforming our B&O tax system. Most people don't realize that the 1933 Washington legislature passed the B&O tax as an emergency temporary measure. And here we still have it today in 2012. So it's the answer is simple. The challenge is getting enough people at Olympia to sign on to a plan that conservatives, just like all of us here, are espousing. And when you get your ballots, make sure that you realize that by electing Republicans, we can turn the tide in Olympia and get some of these reform bills passed. And again, my name's Liz Pike. I'm running for a full two-year term, position 2 in the 18th Legislative District, and I would be honored to have your vote. Thanks.
Thank you, Representative Pike. The next question to be answered in the following order, please. First, Carolyn Crane, then Representative Harris, and then Councilman Cortez. Thank you.
And the question is, do you support or oppose R-74, the referendum on same-sex marriage? What should the definition of marriage be?
Okay. This one has been hammered on hard over the last 24 hours since the Columbian did their article on Jim Mueller versus the newcomer, Carolyn Crane. I have hit this one head on because my opponent held up the legislation for the Balanced Budget Act in Olympia while he pushed his agenda for same-sex marriage. No. Do I have to take 24 more hours? The people have the right to control their society. The answer is no. The government should not tell us how we should live. Our faith with our God dictates that. I hope I don't have to keep answering that one. No insults intended to anyone. It's a hot button. But the answer is no. I do not support it.
Thank you, Carolyn Crane. Next, Representative Harris, please.
Sure. I think it comes down to pretty basic. First off, this bill does not deal with discrimination, and don't ever believe that it dealt with discrimination, because it does not. I'm a father of 4 daughters and a son. Believe in my religion very strongly. You can't legislate morality. You can't legislate how an individual thinks. As I said on the House floor this year and voted no, absolutely no, against this bill. And as it passed, I watched it pass. I thought, This doesn't change anything. This doesn't change how I view marriage. This doesn't change my Bible and my scriptures that dictate my life and tell me how I live. You can't legislate morality in the House of Representatives of the state of Washington. You can't redefine in my mind when in Genesis where it says, and God created man and woman. You can't, I'm sorry, you can do a lot of things and you can legislate a lot of things, but you can't legislate morality. So good luck on that. I'm a solid no. And it's a sad day. You know, it really, you know, you look at our society, it reminds me in the scriptures of Sodom and Gomorrah. There's only a few societies where they've legalized things such as this and has remained a stable society. Don't fool yourselves. There's more going on than just marriage equality.
That's right.
Thank you, Representative Harris. Councilman Cortez, please.
Thank you. So, Representative Harris and candidate Carolyn Crane, they hit on some very relevant, valid points, and I happen to agree with them. However, I'll give a unique perspective on this particular subject. When I was growing up here in Clark County, again, like I said, I grew up here from age six. I grew up in a Hispanic household that had very traditional conservative values. There were faith-based values. A lot of those values I still hold on to today. However, in that same context, I also faced, when I was younger, I faced my fair share of discrimination, whether it be verbal or physical. So I know what it's like to be discriminated against. No one should have to go through that. However, in context to what we're addressing right now, which is the legalization of marriage, I feel the current domestic laws already suffice with what Washington has. I mean, they provide an environment where discrimination isn't rampant. And so my views, without going into my faith reasons why I'm opposed to this, but my views is that I believe that we can both provide an environment, the current environment, quite honestly, where people, gays and lesbians, can enter into a unique relationship between themselves, while preserving the traditional form of marriage, which is one between a man and a woman. That's a position I support, and it's a position, quite frankly, the majority of the voters in the 18th Legislative District support, so I will continue to do that.
Thank you, Councilman. The next question to please be answered in the following order. First, Debbie Peterson, and then Julie Olson. Thank you.
Question is, if elected, what type of committees will you be interested in serving on while in Olympia?
Debbie Peterson, please.
Thank you. There are two committees I'm hoping to be selected for. One of them is the Transportation Committee, and the other is the Education Committee. And the Transportation Committee is important to me because for the past 4.5 years, I've been working very diligently with other colleagues to try to get a better bridge project. As I enumerated in my first answer, there are many reasons other than that want me to have that project be dissolved and have a better project put in place. One of them is because of the fact that this bridge project actually does not solve congestion, and yet we're spending $3.2 billion for that very reason, when in fact, by their own numbers, it doesn't do that. And so, if I'm on the Transportation Committee, and I'm hoping that I am, I will be pushing very hard to remove the funding from that project. The second thing is education. My second career is in education. I'm an educator, and it's a glorious, glorious profession if you love children, if you love to teach. And I feel very thankful I've been able to do that. I've taught 8 years in a private school, and it was wonderful. Now I substitute in a public school. Our kids are being failed by our legislature. In 10 years, they put down 80 new programs. Teachers can't keep up. And our kids are reaping the disbenefits of what's happening in the legislature. And it is not a money issue. It's how we spend our money, and we need to go back to site-based management. Talk to me about that afterwards. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Debbie. Next, Julie Olson, please. I'm losing my train here.
I've been asked this committee question more times in the last week and a half, I think, than I have in months, so I'm going to have to get serious about this, I think. Certainly, I have a background in education. I've been on the Richfield School Board for 7 years, and I've been the president for the last 4 years. So and met with the WASDA, Washington State School Directors Association, Government Affairs Representative this morning, and had a conversation about this education committee. And so that'd probably be one that I would be interested in serving on. And while Representative Harris and I disagree on the charter schools bill, I do agree with him significantly in the fact that we do need to continue to stay innovative and creative in the districts and in the system that we've got today. But we have to change that system in order to get some innovation and some creativity in there. So I agree we need to continue to do things in our current system that work well. Take the handcuffs off these teachers and these school boards and these local districts and let them be creative. So we can do both, in my opinion. I think we can still have charter schools and continue to improve our system by making it different. The other one, I have a science degree. I have a degree in microbiology. I've been working in the laboratory and scientific sales environment my whole life. So I would like to be on the environmental committee, I think, and take some stabs at DOE. And just because we can measure parts per trillion doesn't mean that we should, and doesn't mean that it's going to have a positive impact on our environment. So I'd like to be there to wreak a little havoc on those folks if I can. Thanks.
Thank you, Julie. The next question, please, in the following order, Representative Liz Pike first, and then Brandon Bick. Thank you.
This is the last question, and it is, states and corporations are avoiding the Patient Protection and Affordable Act, CARE Act, also known as Obamacare. States are refusing to implement it, and employers such as Olive Garden and McDonald's have or are considering cutting employees' hours to 29 hours or fewer in order to not have to provide health insurance. With this approach, the losers in all of this are U.S. employees, the very people this law was supposed to help. How do you feel the state of Washington should approach this issue?
Representative Pike, please.
Thank you for the question. Washington state legislature already has begun a little bit of work on creating a health care exchange, which is mandated by Obamacare. So we've started down that road. I think Mitt Romney's solution is by far the best, and that is let each of the 50 states figure out how to best care for their safety net. Then you have 50 laboratories all around the country all trying to come up with the best way to manage their folks that fall through the cracks, that can't afford health insurance, that are unemployed. And then very soon, when you have 50 labs conducting the same experiment, the best programs are going to rise to the top so that all the states can follow the best models. I think that's far better than having this big, heavy-handed government approach from the federal government that does very few things as well as the private sector. So that would be my first choice, is to allow the states to come up with creative solutions to care for their own. The other serious concern I have on this 500-pound gorilla in the room is the fact that Obamacare wants to dump basically another 300,000 citizens in Washington into our Medicaid system. And there's already an access problem for patients seeking doctors that accept Medicaid patients. So the problem is, where are those doctors going to come from with this big abundance of new patients coming into the system?
Thank you, Representative Pike. Much appreciated. So, Brandon, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. When we get to Olympia in January, we're going to have one of a couple of scenarios. The first is we're going to have a new president who throws the act out, and we don't have to worry about it anymore. That'd be very nice. Or the second scenario would be we have President Obama back in office, and we do have to deal with the Affordable Care Act in full. I think as legislators, the thing that we can do is fight for our independence. I think when we elect Rob McKenna as our governor, we can urge him, and I know that he will continue to fight for our independence as a state after those exemptions that you were talking about earlier, and then let Washingtonians get back to work on finding out how to best take care of themselves and their health care. Our state has a lot of restrictions. Our insurance commissioner has been responsible for a lot of those, and I think after we get Mitt Romney in there, and after we start being able to write our own rules again, that we need to work on allowing purchases over state lines, allowing cooperative purchases for groups like building industry associations, trade associations, folks like that. And we need to just really let people really get to a more of a menu-style pricing option when it comes to buying their health insurance. This is a huge question, and a lot of it, like I said, isn't going to lie in the hands of these people here, but what we can do is fight to try and get our teeth into every piece of it that we can and allow the folks to make the best decisions for themselves. So.
Thank you very much, Brent and Vic. So earlier, the people for the commissioner's position got a chance to introduce themselves and have opening comments. I will give you the chance to have closing comments right now, 90 seconds each. We are talking with, we're starting here on the left-hand side, my left hand, your right, with Representative Harris, please. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much. It's been a privilege and an honor to be with you today. I am State Representative Harris out of the 17th District. This is my first re-election. My wife and I and Lori have lived in the 17th District for, we've been married 37 years, long time. We've moved here in 1979. I was privileged to be on the Evergreen School Board for 10 years. As I said before, I've had five children, four daughters, four beautiful daughters, just really easy to raise, and one son that actually was easy to raise. And I've had a local business. I've been a small business owner for 13 years. Was vice president of Miller Paint Company when I left. Started my own paint company. Am now in the medical and dental field. I know a lot about medical and dental issues. I sit on the health exchange board. Actually, I sit on the health exchange, helping to implement anything but the Affordable Health Care Act. It's anything but affordable. And don't ever fall prey to it's an Affordable Care Act, because it's not going to be anything that is affordable. So I've had the privilege of serving you for 2 years. I need to be reelected so I can continue to fight the fight of what I believe is what our state needs, which is conservative values. Don't spend what you don't have. Don't meddle in my business when I don't want to in my business. Let me have the same type of health care I've always had. Don't tell me what type of health care I need when I'm perfectly happy with the health care I have today. I'm a cancer survivor. The last person I want to choose my form of health care is a federal government.
I'm Julie Olson, running for state representative in the 17th District. Just quickly, by way of background, I am a native Washingtonian. I was born in Seattle. I grew up in the Tri-Cities, and we moved to Spokane when I was a junior in high school, so I graduated from high school in Spokane, Washington. I played volleyball at the University of Idaho, where I did get my science degree, and so I'm back here since about 1993. I've lived in the 17th District. You know, I try not to read the comments on the news articles online. I try to stay away from those, but I did read one last week. And it wasn't bad. It was, you know, this person is a lab equipment salesperson, and why does that make her qualified to be a state representative? And I got to thinking, well, maybe I should think about that for a bit and articulate that. So my athletic career and my sales career, both in sales and management, have really caused me to be results-oriented and solutions-oriented. And as a sales manager, my role is to make my people successful or try to help them become successful. And I say to them, if you're talking, you're not selling. And the only way to really come up with solutions for our customers is to listen to them and to understand what their problems are. And so as I think about this campaign and about being a representative, it's about listening to my constituents, listening to you, to businesses here in Clark County, so that we understand what the problems are and we actually can come up with solutions, but we can't do that if we're always doing the talking and not the listening. So those are some of the skills I think I can bring as a representative, and I would appreciate your support and your vote. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Liz Pike. Thanks for inviting us to be here today. I would have really liked it if my opponent could have been here, because you could have seen a very clear contrast between the two of us running for position 2 in the 18th Legislative District. I grew up on a Brush Prairie dairy farm as one of 13 children, and you don't get out of an environment like that without having an incredible work ethic and a can-do attitude. I ran marathons for about 25 years just as a hobby, and I'm a finisher of the Hawaii Ironman Triathlon, and all those types of activities, you either get tough or die, and you don't finish those kind of events. So I think that endurance, that self-discipline, that positive attitude, and working with all types of people will make me a great fit in Olympia. And it's very important that when we get to Olympia, that we have the ability to work across party lines. Looking at it very realistically, we may not have a majority in the House of Representatives, so it's going to be very important to find common ground with other representatives from the other side of the aisle to move Washington forward. I think I have that skill set. I've been a very conservative Republican all my life. I've operated my own company for the past 17 years, and I bring 30-plus years of private sector business with me to Olympia. This is not a career path for me. It's a call to service to change the state around. And I'd appreciate your vote on November 6th. Thanks. Yeah, you can vote tomorrow. The pamphlets are even coming in. So there. Hi, I'm Carolyn Crane. I never thought that I would run for office. I've owned three businesses. They were all located over in Oregon when my husband and I lived over there. And I maneuvered through the issues of SAFE and the State Accident Insurance Fund, and I was actually an outspoken person when that process was going down in the state and the state was changing their regulations. The answers that they have are actually quite adequate over there. They do a good job now. They did not then. At this point in time, this campaign has been one that has been the same nine questions, and as a candidate, I'm sitting over here and I'm going, no, ask me, I've got an answer. And, you know, we don't get that. We have to share it all. To find out more about me, you're going to have to go out to my website. It's www.votecarolyn.com. You can find CVTV interviews. There are several of them on there. The League of Women Voters did an interview portion about a week ago. But the interviews side by side with the Columbian and with CVTV are actually excellent interviews where we do get to answer all these questions and we get to let you know that we are not one or two issue candidates. We come at this with a very solid understanding. I may be the only candidate I know that read the American Affordable Health Care Act, and no, you don't want it. One person should not have that much power. Okay?
Well, hello, my name is Brandon Vick. I am running for state representative in position 18, or district 18, position number one. My wife, Darcy, and I are actually high school sweethearts. We are freshmen and have been married for he's 5 years now. We make our home in Philida, where we have a pretty new baby girl, 7 weeks old, and we're enjoying the heck out of her. She's been doorbelling for 3 weeks now, so we're really excited. I got into this race for a very simple reason, and it can be summed up by the book I was reading when Connie Jo Freeman called me to invite me here, and that book was God Wants You to Be Rich, and I don't mean to pander when I say that, but the theory behind the book is that it's the folks who are out there making money, earning a living, and doing well, who have a good set of values behind them, who are going to be the folks who pull the rest of us out of the woods. Not the rest of us, but the rest of the world out of the woods. It's not going to be government. It's not going to be President X or Governor Y or Senator so-and-so. It's going to be the people. I believe Olympia's been on the wrong track for 30 years. I'm going to go to Olympia to help return the power to the local communities, and that's what I plan to do. I'm happy that many of you know me from my decade of experience in local politics. I'm even happier that most of you know me from my involvement in nonprofits here locally, and I just really, really would appreciate your vote anytime in the next few weeks. ElectBrandonVick.com is my website, and I look forward to serving you. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, I appreciate you guys hosting this forum. Again, my name is Adrian Cortez, and I'm running for state representative for the 18th Legislative District, position number one. You can learn more about me at my website. That's www.adriancortez, all one word, and that's Cortez with an S, .com. As I've said before, I have two daughters, a second grader, and actually today when I'm done with this forum, I have to go pick up a birthday cake for my youngest. It's her one-year-old birthday. So. I have a wonderful, beautiful wife, and I've lived in the Battleground area from age six. I currently am an elected official with the City of Battleground, Washington, as a councilman. And I serve a plethora of boards, both chairing the Regional Fire Authority Committee, which includes Woodland, Battleground, Clark County Fire and Rescue, and as well as also a board of director with the Battleground Chamber of Commerce and several other boards and commissions that I serve on. You know, I really appreciate being a part of this process. We have fantastic candidates right here representing us. And whatever happens in this election, we're going to have a great amount of representation. And I've just been thrilled to be a part of this process. I've been thrilled to have the endorsement of Senator Rivers, have the endorsement of former Senator Joe Zarelli. I've been thrilled to be able to obtain the endorsement of all the mayors in the 18th Legislative District. And quite honestly, all the mayors in all of Clark County have actually come out to endorse me. So I just really appreciate people putting their trust in me, putting their faith in me, and voting for me. And I also ask for you, the audience, for your support and your vote this November. Thank you very much.
Hi, it's been a pleasure to be here again. I'm Debbie Peterson, 49th District, Position 1, Representative. And just a little bit about me. My degree is in biology, and then my second degree is in education. And there are a couple reasons why I'm running, but one of them is, and perhaps you know this, Washington State ranks second in terms of having the worst small business failure rate in the nation. That may not surprise you, because as you go down Vancouver or go down your own streets in your town, you may see a lot of empty storefronts. And that business rate that is so poor represents jobs. It also represents the failure of the legislature. I mentioned to you that the legislature was failing the education. And we have a 30% dropout rate, 30% dropout rate in our high school students. It hasn't just occurred this year or last year. We have had that rate for 15 years. And I have to ask, why? Why hasn't somebody solved that? It is unconscionable that we are losing 30% of our kids. It represents thousands and thousands of children every single year. We have, of our fourth graders, 55% of them are not proficient in math. Of our eighth graders, 60% are not proficient in math. Those are stunning statistics. I want to go to Olympia because I am uniquely qualified to be there. My first degree, my first career is in finance. I ran a credit union and was a credit union manager. My second degree is in education. I'm uniquely qualified for these problems. Thank you so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for being here. We appreciate having you on the forum.
You're welcome.